What are you doing in Seattle then, the home of grunge?
Doing a, we're hoping to be discovered by Sub Pop. You know, we sent them a demo tape, and we're kind of hoping that Sub Pop will come to the show, and maybe we can open up for Mudhoney or something. No, I'm sorry, man. We're on a tour.
Yeah, right. Now, Electric Larryland, has it come out in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's come out, although they haven't sent me a copy of it yet, so...
Yeah, I don't have a copy either.
Well, join you and me, buddy, man. We're in the same boat, I've seen other people with copies of it, so I presume it's out there.
But I do have, of course, Poigged, but maybe you can help us out here, King Coffee. How do you say the title of your amazing 1991 album?
Oh, our Sucky 1991 album? It's Vroom Ping Ping! That's something to that effect is what Gibby told Rough Trade. When they wanted an album title, so he just made a bunch of random sounds, and they asked him to spell it, so he picked some random letters. And the whole point was to have a totally unpronounceable, unspellable LP, but Rough Trade didn't find that was too marketable, so they actually gave it a fixed spelling, and I think even a fixed pronunciation, and I think they even gave it a definition as well.
Yeah, right. You didn't have, you weren't part of defining it or anything?
No, this fucking, I'm sorry, those bastards, you know? I mean, like, theoretically, you know, like, we have artistic control, and, like, the artistic control is that we didn't really particularly want to have, we want to have a totally absurdist title. But, people don't like marketing absurdist things because, like, absurdity doesn't really sell, you know?
It does to me.
Well, yeah. You and I are part of the rare minority, my friend, you know.
I hate minority. And pity I'm part of it. And there's a Latino Bugger Veil is another group of words which the Butthole Surfers have put together, and that's the name of your publishing arm. Are there any other sets, internal record companies, strange words?
Well, I mean, like, we came from the entire goo scene in San Antonio with bands like the Ashtray Babyheads and the Vodka Family Winstons and Fit Warren Makes Some Food, and yeah, the rivalry between the Againsters, who were against everything, and then the Againsters, who played everything again and again and again. You know, that was a really bad rivalry between those two bands.
Yeah, right. And I'm just looking at some of the album titles from the new album, which is called Electric Larryland. There's Cough Syrup, and there's also Let's Talk About Cars and Jingle of My Dog's Collar. Jingle of a Dog's Collar. So, do you come up with album titles just randomly in the same way? Because Chewing George Lucas's Chocolate is another doozy as well.
Sometimes, yes, indeed, a phrase can be the inspiration of the song. But yeah, there's no rhyme nor reason. I mean, like, in fact, we're incredibly lazy. There's one album that we have called an equally bad title, Hairway to Steven. And we could think of, like, essentially like 12 good titles for songs. So we gave Touch and Go a bunch of pictographs which represented each song. So the songs, I guess, aren't published because, as far as I know, you can't publish songs which don't have titles to them or pictographs to them. So
Well, King, do you have scratch and sniff stickers over in the U.S.?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, maybe we should get some scratch and sniff song titles. That'd be a good idea. Now, Independent Worm Saloon was produced by John Paul Jones. How was it working with one of the Led Zeppelin guys?
It was very freakish, you know. Like that was a first time to be that was our debut, so to speak, on a major label. The first time we ever worked with a producer, and it was really frustrating for us because, like, everybody who we were meeting for a producer was either these total Hollywood cliche, like, bad 70s vibes, or these, like, cool people who knew less about music than we did, you know. So, like, finding a producer was really tough, and then out of the blue, then they said, well, John Paul Jones is interested, and at that point, we were just laughing so hard, we said, sure, bring him on. But, you know, he was cool. I mean, he didn't really do that much, you know, besides sort of drink scotch and, you know, and hit record, but that's kind of like almost all we needed in a way, you know?
Yeah.
And like, what was cool is that if it sounded bad, we could blame it on him, you know? So that was kind of like the role of the producer. And
So what do you say to John Paul Jones, like, look, we play this way, don't try and clean us up, just hit record.
Well, yeah. Not clean us up. I mean, like, to his credit, I mean, like, he's really kind of into unusual stuff, and the guy is so rich that he didn't do that gig for the money, you know. I think he was intrigued by just the idea of working with a bunch of just surrealist Texan punk rockers for an album, and just to see what would happen. And when he wants more copies of, like, our old stuff, we sent him a copy of Hairway to Steven, and I'm not really thinking about that. That was a ripoff of Led Zeppelin. We totally forgot about that joke years ago. But he thought it was kind of cheeky on our part that we named an album Hairway to Steven, and then asking him to produce it. But I mean, like, our only complaints to that album, I think, is that it sounds a little too clean. You know, it sounds a little bit too artificial and stuff, you know. And,
well, Independent Worm Saloon, you think, is a bit too clean.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, and, like, that was, like, a bit of a gripe with, I mean, I know theoretically if I was, you know, really hawking this new album, I'd be saying how great it is, but, like, when we first brought back the tapes of the new album from New York, again, working with the producer, we thought it was pretty antiseptic, you know, it was pretty sterile, and we kind of, like, we thought that we had missed the point, and the producer had missed the point of what the band was all about, and kind of we were making sort of similar mistakes that we made on the past few records of, like, losing all our spontaneity and creativity in the recording process. So what we did is that we chucked about half the songs that we spent a lot of time and money on in New York and went to a relatively cheap studio in Austin to record ourselves. And I think the best songs from that session or from that period came from that. And that, to me, kind of goes back to what we were doing back in the 80s, back when we were recording ourselves in the kitchen and stuff. And, with us slowly building up on it.
Yeah, right.
Je pense que c'est dommage qu'il se fasse du mal comme ça, mais si c'est pour gagner le match du foot.
Et puis quoi, le punk, quand même aussi.
Pepper is grabbing a bit of hip-hop and stuff, so are you a hip-hop bunny? Do you have, like, a bike shorts?
Oh, man, I'm so fly, and I'm so deaf with my homies in the hood.
Yeah. So what else can we expect on the album?
It is just totally random. You will like a few of it, and you will hate a few of it as well. It's just, I mean, like, the Capital EMI, whatever, are going to be totally screwed to find another single off the album. Like, in fact, they're already panicking. Like, they're thinking of taking, like, one of the rock songs off the album and then taking off the drums and putting in a drum machine, a hip-hop beat to it instead for, like, they think they have some winning combination now, you know, that will crank out, like, little hip-hop beats, you know, like, you know, forever, and voila, you know, like, Capital all of a sudden has a successful band on their hands. When in fact, it was our fluke novelty song that people liked. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, and there was, who was in my room last night, actually, did some charty sort of stuff, and that would have been a spinner for you guys. And, so, do you think you have to make just one single to keep the record company, you know, on side, and then you can do the other 19 tracks just randomly?
Well, theoretically, we can do whatever we want to. I mean, like, this is, of course, this is theoretically, but like theoretically, when we signed to Capitol, we were in really good shape because we were doing fine on the indies. You know, we were like the, I think us and Fugazi were like the biggest bands on in the American indie circuit, and there's really no compelling reason for us to really be on a major unless they could significantly make us a lot more money, and it had to be like on terms which we were used to, which is like a complete creative control kind of thing. So basically what happens is that we fork over some, you know, a collection of songs that we call an album to Capitol, and Capitol hopes and prays there is something marketable on it which they can push off as a single and a video and stuff. And they've gotten lucky, I guess, for the past two albums, but we'll see how lucky they get for the next one. I don't know.
Yeah, but...
Pourquoi ? Je dirais que sur la culture française, c'est un des choses qui font que les films sont...